Yeah, all right. Cool. I mean, I didn't really want to do too much of an intro because I wanted to be like on some casual joint.
Right. But should I move forward or I'm good?
Nah, you're good. Yeah. You can hear him okay? Yeah. But, I mean, given the magnitude of the guests I have in the building, I got two motion men in the building, you know what I'm saying?
Nah, that's you, twin.
Think of it like, it's like a boxing card. You got the main event and you got the co-main. You see what I'm saying? Starting off with my co-main, the one who's going to be kind of facilitating the convo with the main event. You know, the one who gave me the idea for the structure of the pod. You see what I'm saying? Junior at the University of Maryland School of Business, majoring in finance and information systems. Fresh off a little internship of the Department of Energy. I said he's a motion man. I'm going to give him a cool top 10 standings in the business school. Representing Cameroon nicely, my brother Ivan. How you doing today?
I'm
pretty good, bro. Kind of just introduced myself, like he said. My name's Ivan, everyone. I'll be working at Amex this summer, so you know what I'm saying? That's a positive. Gonna be in the city, you know what I'm saying?
My boy.
But yeah, I guess like we can kind of turn it over and, you know, introduce my dog, you know what I'm saying?
Main event. He's also going to UMD the business school, finance and information systems major, co-president of the Black Business Association, serial entrepreneur, such endeavors I've got him to get to the White House, you know what I'm saying? Little invitation from Kamala Harris and the Biden administration. From selling giraffe out of his backpack to slagging the whole DMV. Yes. If you ain't shopping street, you ain't
probably.
My brother from Ghana, Jeff, how you doing today, bro?
That intro was tough. What's good? For those of y'all that don't know me, my name is Jeff. Super happy to be here. Shout out my brother Will, man. Yeah, so do a lot of different things. I'm a junior in the business school studying finance information systems. I'm the president of the Black Business Association. Shout out Ann, I serve alongside her. And I'm the CEO of Street Love. Y'all not shopping on street, you're not part of the family. And what else I do? This summer I'm gonna be in New York with Alvarez and Marsal as a CPI consultant. So it's a little cool. Excited to be here, man. Any perspective I can share, that's what I'm here for.
Nah, for sure. That's I appreciate you all, you know, joining me, you know, taking the invitation as immediately when I told you guys about it. I said, Ivan, you kind of gave me the inspiration for how I should go about this. And, I mean, getting straight into it, how'd you all meet? Because, like, the only time I've been in the same room with you all, other than today, was last week Friday. And everybody told me, yo, Jeff and Ivan, like, this is like Kobe and Shaq, you know what I'm saying?
I was looking
when Jeff was sitting across from me. And then you were sitting right next to me. You guys looked at each other. You guys were speaking in your own different language just from looking at each other. So, this is a real, like, friendship. And before we get into, like, you guys' individual stories, I just want to know, how did you all meet? And just, like, how did the friendship go?
Yeah, I can actually start it off, bro. Like, we weren't actually mans when we first met. So, like, we met, like, freshman year of high school. He actually knew my brother before me. Because they played, Jeff had played soccer freshman year. I didn't. So he knew my brother that way because my brother was, like, captain of the varsity team at the time. So he, like, trained with Jeff and all that. And then me and Jeff actually, like, met at some point, like, freshman year. And then I think we actually didn't really like each other to begin with.
Why?
Yeah. I don't know, bro. I think we both had, like, a little smart mouth. I'm not going to lie. Like, I think at the time, like, I made fun of Jeff because he was short. For, like, most people who don't know Jeff, you know what I'm saying? He's a lot shorter before.
Oh, nah.
Yeah. I was speaking on that too much.
First year of high school, I was 5'3", bro.
I was 4'11", gang. I was under 5 foot. That joint was...
But it builds character, though. Yeah. Because, like,
R&B.
When you're short, the physique's not there. You try and compensate in different ways. You see what I'm saying?
I'm telling you.
I was the funniest person in the classroom.
I'm telling you.
It was crazy.
Keep going, though.
But, and then what was it? Like, sophomore year... I think we started playing together and started hanging out more, bruh. We, like, clicked instantly. We became romance. And then from there, bruh, that was just it.
That's just history.
Yeah, bro. Sure. Like, went to MC together. We're here together, you know what I'm saying? Like, we about to graduate for the third time together, bro. So.
My boy.
Yeah, bruh. You know what I'm saying? Just, Jeff, you can share a little bit about.
Nah, Ivan literally covered the whole thing. So, I was mans with Ivan's brother, Frank, first. That was like, so I have a big brother, but my big brother didn't go to Blair. So, when I came, Frank was like my big brother. Like, he was just looking out for me. He was a senior, I was a freshman. He was putting me on and stuff. I knew Ivan was his brother, but I didn't actually know Ivan that well. And Frank didn't talk about him OD, so I was like, all right, shoot, you know, who is this guy? So, I didn't know him too much. But then, it's like he said, sophomore year, bruh, like, We would just have lunch together, and the funniest stuff would happen. So we just started, like, clicking, hanging out more. We both like soccer. We just had everything in common. And literally since then, it's just been locked in. Like, shout out HBG. Shout out Holy HBG. Boys.
The rest the of HBG. Shout out HBG.
You know what I'm saying? Shout out my guys. Shout out my guys. But junior year, locked in. Senior year, locked in. Like, literally, it's like, you see Jeff, you see Ivan. That's been my twin for a minute. Both went to MC together. Honestly, I feel like Ivan was also a big factor with me choosing MC because I was in the magnet program in high school. Bro, everyone used to think I was like a genius, so smart, because I was in this like gifted and talented program. When I said I was going to community college, heads would literally be like, damn, I thought you were smart. No funny, bro. Like, people would say stuff like that to me and just be like, man, like, you really like dropped the ball. But like, seeing literally my good mans being like, yo, I'm going to community college, I'm like, all right, bet, I can do it too. So stayed down till we came up. Now we at UMD, and you know, we just thank God. Things going good.
Yeah, bro.
So did you guys both feel pressure to go to a university? Because I went to a community college too. And like, I think that was the best decision I could have made.
Almost definitely.
Saved money. I still got some friends that I talked to back there. But like, would you say that you felt pressure to go to like a university, or like you felt like some type of stigma? Because I know when I was in high school, it was like people would joke about, because I went to a school in Frederick County. Right? Mm-hmm. When I was in high school, it was a joke, like, oh, you're going to FCC. Like, people would say that as a joke. And then, like, it comes to the time to make that decision. You see how many people end up going to FCC.
Yeah.
So, like, for you guys, was it always, like, a thing where, like, oh, I'm going to do this? Or, like, just speak on that.
I wouldn't really say it was, like, pressure. I think we both, like, since high school, we've been wanting to go to UMD. That was, like,
okay,
we're going to go here.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, we ended up both not getting accepted, which was, like, heartbreaking, bro. I'm not going to lie. Because I didn't apply to that many schools. I was, like,
okay,
it's UMD and a couple other schools are nothing for me, bro.
Fair.
So I didn't get into UMD. And, like, I didn't really want to go to UMBC because it's, like, they didn't really have a business school, like, a business program there.
Okay.
And, like, Smith was always, like, I need to go to Smith. And then I didn't get in, so I was just like, yeah, bro, I'm about to go to MC. Like, I talked to my brother about it. He was like, yeah, bro, MC, spend 2 years at MC, you'll get into Smith, bro. Like, don't even worry about it.
Fair.
So I feel like my brother was, like, a big impact on, like, me going to MC. So.
Okay. How about you, Jeff?
Bro. Yeah, same thing. Like, my brother went to UMD. He used to show me around school all the time. I'm like, bro, I'm going to go to UMD. I'm finna be a Terp. And I literally had recommendations from professors at UMD. Before applying, I had an internship at UMD, fool. And I was in the magnet program. I had, like, a 4.3 GPA, and I didn't get in. I was really like, bro,
yeah,
what?
Bro.
And I was so confident. I opened my acceptance letter while I was on the phone with my mans. Cause I was really like, bro, look at this. I read that joint.
Bro thought it was a done deal.
Bro, Will, when I tell you, I was like, what? I hung up so quick, bro. Mm. And I literally cried for like a day straight. I was like, bro. Because this was my dream school. Just like Ivan. Yeah. I didn't really apply to that many schools. I didn't want to go Ivy or nothing. I just wanted to go UMD. So I thought I was going to go to NCAT. But honestly, God had other plans. Like, I had a lot going on in my life at the time. So MC just made the most sense for my family. Like, financially. And at first, boy, I did not want to do it, because I was like, bro, like, community college is so lame, like, but like, actually going there, I realized it was really the best thing for me, like,
for sure.
I developed a lot of character. I started street level at MC. Like, that's where I really found myself. I got to like take away from my environment and high school and all the stuff that comes with that, and just lock into me becoming the best version of myself, my business. So I think MC was the best thing for me, honestly.
Agreed.
Definitely recommend to anybody, like, bro, don't let people press you into going to a 4-year. Y'all all get the same degree at the end of the day. Only difference is you save a bunch of bread. You feel me?
Fair.
Heavy on people's reactions, bro. Like, when you tell them I'm going to MC, it was like a shock in the face. I'm like, bro, it's just MC. Like, it's not the end of the world, bro.
Yeah.
And like, heavy on also, like, you know, like, a built character, because I don't know what I would have been doing if I came here out freshman year, bro. I was not locked in. Like, I was going to be here with just straight vibes, bro.
Telling you.
I think going to MC definitely, like, kind of changed my perspective on, like, what I should be doing. Not should be doing, but, like, things I could be doing.
Fair.
Like, I was in class, like, at MC with, like, 40, 50-year-olds, bro. Like, they were actually, like, locked in on still trying to, like, you know, trying to do something with, like, I don't know, whatever they were trying to do. Like, there's a lady who literally had a business and was, like, trying to learn like statistics and like math and all that to like kind of help run her business. So I don't know, just kind of being in the class like that with like people who are actively like trying to like work on something was like, yo, I need to lock in, bro.
Fair. And so, you touched on street club that you started at MC, but before we get into that, I want to talk about your whole journey with like entrepreneurship and how did it start for you? And like, how has it like transferred to what it is today?
So always been super interested in like entrepreneurship. I just didn't know it or like call it that. Really, I was just interested in finding ways to get money because we all got African parents. We all know how it is, you feel me? Like, they was not trying to spend no money on the stuff that I wanted. Like, if it came to like school, they would drop a bag. But if I even want like McDonald's, there's food at home. You feel me?
So, guys at home.
Bro, from my early age, I was like, all right, let me try to figure out ways to get money. And so it literally just started with me like, I think my first business for real was selling jollof rice out of my backpack at school.
Mowing lawns.
Yeah, nah. I did a couple different things. So I used to mow lawns around my neighborhood. Mm. I used to shovel snow around my neighborhood. I used to rake leaves around my neighborhood. And then I started, so my family's from Ghana. So literally I would take jollof rice my mom was making at home, pack it up, add a little corn, a little chicken, slang it out at lunch, and I started making money. I remember, believe it or not,
that joint sold, bro. It moved.
Not for sure.
It moved.
I made like $100 in a day, and that was my first time like making that much money at once. I was like, yo, this is cool. Then I started doing his homework for money, and so literally I helped him like write the essays and stuff. But then this one man's like, bro, he turned in a paper with my name on it, and we both got in trouble. So I was like, this joint is cooked. Then I started my own private tutoring service. So shout out to my school and my principal. She would literally let me come to PTA meetings and talk to parents and be like, yo, my name's Jeff. I'm a young black student, entrepreneur. I could be in the street scamming, drug dealing, all this, but I'm just trying to like teach kids and inspire them. So that's how I got my first couple clients. I enjoyed tutoring, still tutored, honestly, up until very recently, but like it was a lot that came with it. And so I was like, all right, I need something that's kind of like interesting. That's like my passion. And so I always been into clothes. With Street Love, it started off with just me selling shirts. Like I sold one shirt, two shirt, three shirts. Before I knew I had sold 50 shirts, I was like, bruh, this is kind of cool. But I wanted to make something bigger than just, I bet I give you a shirt, you give me money. I wanted to try to form like a community, something bigger than me. And that's how the idea for Street Love really started. So it's kind of like my entrepreneurial journey.
Okay, got you. And Ivan, I know you be like a Street Love ambassador, unofficial ambassador.
Yeah.
I see you always helping out. But like, in terms of entrepreneurship or just, you know, a hustle, what were you doing like around that time, maybe in high school, MC, and then also coming up to now?
Actually, in high school, like late high school, I was actually selling shoes for a minute. Like I was trading and selling shoes, which is what like, I guess was like, I want to call it my first venture, but not really. Like there's some stuff I did like way back, but like... Yeah, I'm not going to get into that, but...
these are legal activities,
though. I was like,
bro. Are these legal activities? Or?
It's legal. Okay, it was just okay. It was very old.
Yeah, I feel you.
But yeah, I was selling shoes. I was making, like, decent money off of that. But then I kind of stopped doing it. It was just, like, getting overwhelming, bro. Like, I was spending, like, way too much time trying to source shoes. Because, like, clothes and shoes are a little bit different. Like, I think it's a little bit easier to, like, get clothes and, like, you know, kind of build a community around clothes, which is what, like, you know what I'm saying?
Jeff's done.
I feel being known as like the shoe plug, bro, too many demands, bro. I didn't really like want to be known as that. I kind of just like traded and like sold shoes because like I like shoes and like I wanted to like get more shoes. So like I guess I'll call that like my first venture for like I was selling shoes for a minute, like on all platforms like Grail, Depop. Like I'd even link up with people in person. Like the sneakers app, bro. I was on that joint heavily.
You have bots or nah?
Nah, no bots, bro. No, just a bunch of accounts, bro. I would hit though, but.
Feel you.
Bro. That was like officially the first venture.
And then when it comes to entrepreneurship in terms of your motivation for both of you, I know for me, my biggest motivation is I don't like working for people. Which sounds bad. I mean, obviously, do your job, whatever position God has put you in, you know, be that servant in that position. But if you know that, like, you know, he's put something on your heart to, like, influence people, serve people, something I think that you guys are doing both very much with Street Love. You know, you've built a community and things of that nature. How much of it was just there's more for me than working a 9-to-5? Even though there's nothing wrong with working the 9-to-5, we've all been blessed to have internships coming up in the summer. Yeah. Shout out to all those companies going to be shout working for you. Love you guys.
Shout out to the Alvarez and myself.
But yeah, I mean, for me, that's my biggest motivation for like getting into entrepreneurship, different side hustles, because I want to do something where I like have purpose, but as well, you know, don't always have someone tell me exactly what to do. Can you guys relate to that, both of you?
Absolutely. Most definitely. Absolutely. I could take this one first. So my first job, like officially, was I got hired at Target. Mm-hmm. Right. I can remember the day I got hired. I was so happy. Like I was like, yes, I got to work a job. And like, bro, literally the manager that I had at the time, the way that he would treat me made me an entrepreneur. Because yeah, bro fair. Would act like he was above me. Like genuinely, like he was like my dad or something because he was just my boss. And I was like, mm-hmm. bro, I can't let nobody talk to me like this. I can't let nobody disrespect me like this. He literally made me an entrepreneur because I used to be pushing carts at Target, bro. I was a cart pusher. And let me say this. There's nothing wrong with like pushing carts. Nothing wrong with working a 9-to-5. Like literally, everybody starts somewhere. It's not about how you start. It's about how you finish. But like he would just disrespect me and belittle me. And I was like, bro, I know. Like, bro, you like 45 with a wife and kids. And I'm literally in high school. Like, why are you treating me like this? So I was like, bro, I got to do something. I got to make something of myself. And that literally made me want to, like you said, be my own boss. Nobody's telling me what to do. I'm working on my own terms. And the biggest thing that really made me realize, like, I got to take this entrepreneurship seriously is, like, I was working at a company. Mm-hmm. And I was doing a great job, bro. Like, literally, I was helping making them a lot of money. But no matter how hard I worked and no matter how good I did, my pay was the same. And I really didn't like that. Because I'm like, bro, why am I getting paid the same amount as everybody else? And heads are like, this is not even to diss them, but they like slacking off, taking extra breaks, all types of stuff like this. I'm like putting in work, making the company money, and I get like a pat on the back. Whereas if I'm an entrepreneur, I'm directly awarded for the hard work that I do. So I'm like, bro, I need to just start my own joint, do my own joint. That's going like, appreciate my effort.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Ivan, for you, what would you say just in terms of motivation for entrepreneurship or motivation maybe long term? Do you have goals like to work for yourself?
Yeah, absolutely, bro. I think like school is just kind of like a step, you know, along the way. Call it like a side quest.
Mm-hmm.
But sure, like maybe. I think kind of similar to like Jeff, bro, just like the jobs that I've worked at, like I worked at Safeway. H&M.
H&M boys.
Yeah, I've worked at like on campus at MC. I think like all those were cool, but it's just like, I feel like my skill set is not being used like to its full potential, bro. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like I can see myself working like I want to work for myself. I feel like that's the best way for me to like, you know, kind of continue to grow and like eventually like get into like, you know, like I want to say final form, but like, I don't know. I just feel like I have to work for myself one day. Like,
I feel you.
That's like the motivation, I like to be able to use the like, the most of my skill set, make the most of them.
Got you.
Thanks.
So now I've got the come up story.
And I don't know if you, on my phone.
No, go ahead.
I don't know if you had this on the sheet, but me and Ivan got hired the same day.
Yeah, H&M.
Yeah, I got Target and H&M on here. I was trying to show my research skills, but I was like,
I got Target and H&M on here.
So the relationship or the friendship just like developed even during that time too.
Bro, it was so funny working together, but they would never schedule us. Fool.
It was like we trained the first 2 weeks that we got hired. They never put us on the same shift ever again.
I only see this man when I'm leaving or coming in.
And vice versa, bro. It was crazy.
I don't want to air out the manager. I ain't going to say his name, but you know who you are, bro.
I'm going to say his name, bro.
Nah. I'm not affiliated with
you. Please. I just started the podcast, bro. I'm not trying to get canceled. Come on now, bro.
He know who he is, bro.
You know who he is.
Nah, but how much of that could have just been like, they know you are boys? That's probably looking too deep into it, but it could be that too.
Like, it was... I see that, but I feel like, bro, when we worked on the register together, bro, I swear people were buying more clothes than you.
Bro, we were making H&M so much money.
Were you like selling the credit cards type?
Nah, not the credit cards.
The loyalty program. We were making that company so much money.
I was out there actually putting in work like I own it. Like, it was crazy. Like,
yeah. And you're getting the same pay like you were saying.
Getting the same pay, bro.
That's why I was like, I can't do this. And so literally taking those skills at H&M, I'm like, bro, I got to do my own joint. It used to blow me. Like, remember they had the loyalty board?
The loyalty board.
I literally got first, and I think they gave me, a Chipotle gift card or something for, like, $10. And I made that company
Chipotle be taxing, too. You can't even get a bowl.
Bro, like, I'm like,
you can just get two bags of chips with that money.
This is cooked, bro. Anyway, my fault. I ain't mean to
catch you. Nah, you're good. You're good. But, yeah, so we were at MC. I just had to, like, bring it back to, you know, the build up to MC, So now we at MC, Street Love has started. What was the motivation behind Street Love? So we talked a little bit about the motivation behind entrepreneurship, but Street Love specifically. One, I guess, explain what Street Love is for the people who don't know, then go from there.
Yes, sir. So for those of y'all that don't know, Street Love is the number one place for streetwear you love. We're committed to building community, promoting positivity. We love to say, if you're not shopping with Street, you're not part of the family. So it's a streetwear and vintage curated store. Been running it for, Saturday will make 2 years now. You can catch us online at our Instagram. We sell through our social media at Street Love Online. We do in-person pop-up shots all across the DMV. Been featured by Vice President Kamala Harris, like Will mentioned. We were in a Forbes magazine, U.S. Department of Commerce, colleges all across the DMV, Home Court, Euphoria Market, God Soul, really wherever we can connect with our community. So it's bigger than clothes, man. It's really about the family. I really like what we've been able to build, and I'm excited for the future, man. So that's Street Love.
And in terms of starting that off, like, how much of an aspect of fear was there in terms of, is this going to work out? Or do you think that, like, you just took advantage of the fact that, like, you're young, you want to make something happen? Because even me, like, starting this podcast, I've thought so much about, like, you know, the failure aspect. But then it's just like, I look back in 2 years, maybe, I'm going to regret not taking, you know, advantage of the resources that I've had to, like, make something happen. At least I can say I tried.
For sure. Bro, literally what you're saying is so true. So I always tell this story, Will, like, at this time that I started Street Love, so like my freshman year, I was really into YouTube and I wanted to be a YouTuber. Like, I was making content like on the side, just like funny videos, but people always told me, like, bro, you could be a YouTuber. So I was like, all right, man, I want to be a YouTuber. All I did was watch videos about how to be a YouTuber. All I did was watch videos about YouTube and this and this. And I had this whole plan. To this day, never posted a YouTube video.
Fair.
But with Street Love, bro, instead of thinking about all the different ways that I could sell streetwear clothing and build community, I didn't do any of that. I literally just started. Mm-hmm. So that would be my biggest piece of advice. Like, bro, stop overthinking and start taking action. Genuinely. Because to this day, bro, 2 years later, I never posted a YouTube video. Yeah. But who knows where I could be if instead of overthinking it, I was just like, bro, let me just record my life. Let me just connect with people. Let me just show them this journey that I'm taking. That's what I did with Street Love. Like, there was fear there, but minimal, because I was like, it's not that deep. But when you set these high expectations for yourself and you put this pressure on yourself before you even started, bro, you're not going to get to where you're trying to go. But I was like, bro, I'm not thinking about none of that. I never thought it would get to the point that it's at now or where it could even go. I was just like, shoot, let me just sell some clothes, get some money. So literally, like, bruh, don't overthink. Don't build up these expectations. Don't put this pressure on yourself. Like, simply look at it as if this is something I want to do now. Let me start today. It's that simple.
Mm-hmm.
And just learn as you go.
And you were talking about, like, the potential of making mistakes with YouTube, right? And you didn't really think too much about that when it comes to starting Street Love. With that being said, though, mistakes are made along the way. Mm-hmm. Would you say the things that you do look back on with Street Love specifically that you regret? And when I say regret, my definition of regret is different than others. My regret is like, okay, I did this wrong. I'm going to learn from it and then keep on going, instead of like saying, oh, I regret this, and then it's just a bad thing. Because I think mistakes are good for a reason. So what would you say with Street Love? Are there any things that you regret, but in a positive way?
I feel the exact same way. Like, mistakes are meant to happen. That's really how you learn. You're never going to learn if you're always doing something right. You feel me? So when you make mistakes, you fail. You see why you failed and you pick yourself up. Then you do better again. Bro, I done made a lot of mistakes with Street Love. Like, bro, every day there's something that I could have done better. But I really adopted this mindset of just, I want to be the best version of me. I'm not comparing myself to nobody. I'm not trying to be like the biggest, greatest, this and this. I'm just trying to be the best version of Jeff. So literally being like, each day I'm going to learn and I'm going to be 1% better than I was yesterday. It might sound like corny to say or something, but genuinely, I feel like that's been the key to the success that I've already had, and the success that I'll continue to have. Like, bro, genuinely not being afraid to make mistakes. Because when I went to the White House, so I was invited by Vice President Kamala Harris, along with 30 other young black entrepreneurs. Like, I was the youngest one there and the least experienced. Bro, I literally, like, could not believe it to this day. I'm like, bro, what? I'm really in the White House right now. And, like, this room is full of multimillionaires in their field, people who have really done this and been like, Jeff, I see that same potential in you. One of the biggest things they told me was, really, like, bro, we have all made thousands of mistakes. We have all failed thousands of times. And they really helped shift my mentality, because I was like an overachiever. You feel me? I'm like, why would I want to fail when I can just succeed? But failure is literally how you learn and become the best version of yourself. So I made a lot of different mistakes with Street Love, but every single one has been a lesson that's made me who I am today.
And as this is happening, you start in Street Love. Ivan, like, what are you seeing from your perspective? Obviously, you're a good friend. You kind of already had a background knowledge of the entrepreneurship journey up until this point. So this is not probably maybe even a surprise for you. But, like, what's your perspective at that time when, like, he comes up with this idea?
The street love idea? At first, it was like, it started off as just Jeff's Closet for, like, the people who don't even know. Like, this was just like Jeff.
Jeff's Closet like, for the OGs.
Yeah, Jeff's Closet for the OGs. Yeah,
okay,
like,
okay.
On the Depop account, yeah. Just selling clothes that, like, he had and, like, you know what I'm saying, like, stuff, like, literally his personal stuff, which I, like, just get rid of and, you know what I'm saying, just, like, be able to cop new ones and just, you know, repeat that cycle.
Right.
So, I guess just kind of seeing that, I was, like, already, like, okay. Like, the more he just started to take more seriously, I was like, this is going to, like...
It's going
to
pop off.
Yeah, it's going to pop off one day. Nah. And then it just, like, the nature of our conversations just changed. It just became more like, okay, boom. How can I make this, like, you know what I'm saying? How can I make this better? How can I, you know what I'm saying, do X, Y, Z to, like, you know what I'm saying? Even, like, finding days, the best days to, like, source, like, pieces. You know what I'm saying? Like, those are the stuff that he was already on, like... Like, I'm going to go this day and this day because that's, like... these are the best days that, like, you can find pieces at, like, you know, whatever stores he's going to. And, like even how he's, like, posting online. Like, bro, I don't think even most people see this, bro. I'd be in class with Jeff, bro. He's literally working on street love. What the rest is talking about, bro, that joint does not matter.
No, bro.
Does not matter, bro. Like, literally see him, like, literally making, like, on Canva, trying to make, like, you know what I'm saying, like, a, what is it, like, a thumbnail for his video or, like, something he's about to post. To, like, so I think just kind of seeing that dedication has been real inspirational to me. Like, kind of just helped me, like, you know, stay on track and, like, continue to, like, you know what I'm saying? Just work hard, bro. Because it's like, bro, having your man's, like, locked in at all times, bro, you got to be locked in. Like, you know what I'm saying?
That's true. That's true.
My brother.
So I think just, like, seeing how hard he works, because I generally don't think people see how hard he works, bro. But I always, like, I've always seen, like, street love going in this, like, trajectory, so.
My brethren. Now, I think Ivan hit the nail on the head. Like, bro, I can literally remember our conversation would just start switching, bro. Where it's like, I had this mindset shift, like, senior year where I was like, bruh. Because I used to play soccer.
Okay.
And I realized, I was like, bruh, I'm not going to be the next Messi, Ronaldo. Like, I'm just not that good at soccer. I'm not even going to play in college. It was. And so I kind of had this realization, like, dang, I'm not the soccer guy. Like, who am I? And I feel like I was just going through kind of like a, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like an in-between period.
Yeah.
I was like, bro, like, what's really going on? And I was just, like, trying all types of stuff. Well, hold on. Not trying all types of stuff, like, something crazy.
Oh, hold on.
Let me
Podcast just started, bro.
I was going to say, bro, I'm not doing no types of drugs. That was never me. I just meant I was, like doing more stuff that I wouldn't normally do. But then, like, slowly, I started taking this interest in business. And because Ivan is literally my right-hand man, like, he saw that change firsthand. We're like, bro, we're going from, like, talking about girls or talking about, like, whatever the move is or something like that. Mm-hmm. I'm like, bro, I have this idea. I want to develop this and this. Like, bro, it's crazy now because we juniors. The conversations me and Ivan have had, crazy, bro. Crazy. Like, genuinely.
And in terms of the relationships that you have that are, like, pushing you forward, that's something that I'm noticing right now. How you said your conversations changed from, you know, maybe talking about things that aren't necessarily bad, but aren't actually doing anything to lead to tangible long-term success.
Exactly.
Sure. And the importance of having those relationships is something that I'm seeing right now. Mm-hmm. So are there friends or just relationships that you would have to cut off when you came to starting street level, or just your entrepreneurship journey in general? And also, what were, like, the reactions of those close to you when it came to, like, I don't want to say other endeavors. Let's just go with street love specifically. The reactions to, like, that one.
It's a great question. So I feel like people think it's so, like, corny or lame, or it's like, bro, like, I have to cut you off, like, this and that. It don't even got to be like that. What I would say is that, like, you are a product of your environment. Your environment is really important. Genuinely, it is, bro. Like, what you surround yourself in, what you take in is really important. And so I realized it for real when COVID hit. Because when I was a junior in high school, I was very much so, like, a people pleaser, go with the flow. What everybody's doing is whatever I'm going to do. But going into literally, like, the pandemic, bro, you're alone in your house for months. And so you can't even try to follow what everybody else is doing. So it genuinely made me realize, like, oh, shoot, I got to take control and actually do what I want to do. You know what I mean? Like, there was no one around to impact me anymore. And so once I was starting to have this mindset shift, I was like, bruh, it's not even like I got to cut heads off, but I just have to take control of my environment. You feel me? Like, I want to surround myself with people who are thinking like me and moving like me and trying to get the same way as that I'm going. So it's just levels to it. Like, I still have friends that I talk to that, like, might not be on the same exact thing as me. And it's like, okay, we could just, like, you know, kick it, chill, time from time. They still my guys. But, like, these can't be, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, my right-hand man, we talk every day because I know we're just not on the same type of thing.
Yeah, you feel me?
So I literally would, like, write down the most important things to me. And then everything else, I'm like, bruh, this is just not as much of a priority. So what really mattered to me was, like, my faith, my relationship with God, like, my family, taking care of them, my relationship, shout out Shalom, my girl, and then my business and, you know, friends as well. But, like, friends who I saw as family. So those were the most important things and kind of what I was revolving around. And so if it wasn't leading to one of these four, I'm like, bruh, it's just not that big a deal. So...
And do you feel like you had to, like, did you write those down or just, it's more of a thing where it's like a mental thing?
Nah, okay. So, I mean, it's both, right? There'll be a mental thing, but there is power in actually putting pen to paper, bro. Mm. Like, literally writing down my goals, who I wanted to be, like, the version of myself that I saw, doing stuff like this every day. There was most definitely power in that. Like, it's one thing for me to just say it. It's another thing for me to literally write down, like, I will be great every day. Bro, you're going to be great. You feel me?
Yeah, so
I definitely feel like there's power writing it down. And yeah, there was, bro, when I was like, I think like a freshman, there was like a whole scandal with me, like not wanting to talk to people that I used to talk to before. But like, I never really been one for drama. So I was like, hey, man, shit, y'all can beef with yourselves.
Is this scandal just based off you ghosting?
Yeah. Fair. It was so like childish, high school, dumb. Like fair, I was just fair. Unfollowing. And then they were like, bro, why do you unfollow me and this and this? And
yeah. You're just trying to lock in.
Bro, I was just trying to lock in. I didn't think it was that deep, but it is what it is. And it's like, it's just like I said, like genuinely, I have no like animosity or ill will or anything like that towards anybody. So I'm like, if you have a problem with me, that's genuinely on your own, bro, because I don't got a problem with you.
Mm. I don't even think it's ghosting, bro. I think you're just on a different type of time. And you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Just
kind of. I mean, when I say ghost, just means you're not responding. So you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I feel you. No, but continue. Yeah.
I mean, like, I think just kind of like moving forward, like, I'm not going to say, like, you leave high school and then, like, you know, you leave the people behind. It's just, like, you know, you're doing your own thing now, mm-hmm, which is, like... Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with it.
You kind of fade with people. It's not like you're cutting them off necessarily. It's just kind of, like, you know, you're doing your own thing. Like, if they're not around you necessarily, it's, like, you know, it makes it a little bit different to, like, communicate. So I think that was, like, kind of what happened. But also just, like, you know, focusing on you. And, like, I feel like that's the biggest, like, you know, the biggest factor. When you focus on yourself, like, bruh. Everything else kind of becomes like external, like things that don't really matter as much to you. So I think that was like what we kind of like experienced or kind of like what you're trying to convey.
Most definitely. And even like a word of encouragement, I'll say, like, I'm not going to lie. It's not easy, especially at first. It's not going to be easy, but it is doable. And you got to focus on not the current state that you're in that might be difficult, but where it's going to lead you to, bro. Like, one thing that I'm really trying to lock in on now and something that I saw back then was, like, you got to stop trading your long-term gain for short-term gratification. Mm-hmm. Like, this thing is cool in the short term, but long-term, it's not doing anything for you. You feel me? Like, it's not going to help you get to where you want to go. It's not feeding your soul. So, me literally realizing, like, bruh, these things are just short-term and temporary. Where do I want to be long-term? What do I want to do long-term? When you start thinking like that, bro, your actions start changing. You feel me? So just encouragement to anyone who might be struggling with, like, trying to focus on being the best version of themselves. They have this goal they want to accomplish, not knowing how the people in their current environment will take it. Don't focus on the struggle that you're in now. Focus on where this mindset and these actions are going to take you in the future.
Mm-hmm. And you made your circle smaller to a certain extent to lock in.
Mm.
But I find it interesting how now... The circle is so big, you ask people to pull up for a pop-up to help you set up. I thought I was the only one, like, you know, man, I'm really Jeff's man. I'm coming to pull up. I see a whole army pulling up. So speak to me about, like, yes, you have to be able to decipher who's a good friend, who's a bad friend, but then also the importance of community and, like, the importance of, like, finding people that you're going to support them, they're going to support you. Because even when I was starting this whole podcast joint, I remember I only wanted to tell, like, 2-3 people about it. I think I only told Dorian for a minute. And then eventually I just started realizing, one, I can get advice from people, but also, like, all this stuff is so hard to set up. Like, shout out my man Abubakar in the back, you know what I'm saying? This man's behind the camera, bro.
Yeah, I see it.
The late nights that we've had in this building over the past 2 weeks, I'm telling you, bro. Like, great, up man. Here till like 1 a.m., just trying to figure things out. So speak to me in terms of, like, yes, you know, figure out the people that are good to have around, but then also building that community of healthy relationships where it's like symbiotic, you know, not that it's transactional, but like guys both care about each other. When you got something going on, I'm going to pull up. When I got something going on, you're going to pull up. So talk exactly. to me about developing that and like how I think it's a skill in itself.
Most definitely. So I think you hit the nail on the head. Like, bro, there's different types of friendships and different levels of friendships. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it. That's mm-hmm. like just what it is, where it's like, bro, certain people is going to be like, yo, close friends, like, yo, good man. And it might have gotten to that point based on, like, the time y'all have known each other, the experiences y'all share, the things that you guys have gone through. But other people, it might be more just like, bro, we just get along well together. Mm-hmm. We might not have even known each other for that long, but, like, we have an understanding. And I think at the end of the day, a friend is someone who, like, bro, you can count on and they can count on you. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're there for them. They're there for you. Y'all got the same mindset. You're doing your thing, so... Literally, it's funny that you said that. Yeah, today, I just wanted to be safe. So I told a couple of hands, bro. Yeah, shout out the BBA family, man. They came through for me like always. Those are my guys, man. And like literally, yeah, bro. Like I build them up. They build me up. So coming to UMD now, I say I made a decent amount of new friends. But it's all levels to it. It's friends with like different purposes and stuff. But I appreciate everybody and what they help me with. And like try to do the same thing for them. That's kind of like my perspective.
Yeah, distinguishing from good friend and bad friend, I think, Jeff, you kind of, like, take it away for the most part. I think, like I met a lot of people, you know, as a transfer student coming into UMD, fall of 2023.
Motion, man.
I think I kind of just came to UMD kind of just, like, you know, ready to meet people. I feel like at MC specifically, like, it's kind of in and out, bruh. Like, I was in class, talk to people in class, that's it. Like, definitely. We're not walking but to...
I haven't had motion at MC, though, bro. Yeah. I'm not even gonna lie. Because it was like, I feel like I was actually in and out. Like, I have friends in my classes, but I was not sticking around nothing. I haven't had motion, bro. We'd be walking around MC. Everybody know this man, bro. Like, Mr. MC. Don't even let him try to cap to y'all. He had motion, bro.
I mean, I had a job on campus. So it was like, I was on campus for an extended period of time.
Yeah.
Like, just kind of, like, explain that a little bit. But... I don't really know. I guess not necessarily distinguishing from good friends and bad friends. I think just like you can kind of see what relationship I have with different people, kind of like how Jeff said, like just like having some friends for like a certain purpose. Not like I'm looking for anything specific out of you. Just like we have this kind of relationship and that's what it is. Like some people, you know, our relationship has grown. Some it hasn't. It's kind of stayed stagnant. So it's just kind of like accepting the relationship for kind of what it is and like, you know, a relationship is just like, it's two ways. Like, if you know, if you're working to grow it with one person, they're not, it's not really, working out, but you can kind of see that and just kind of like, okay, like this friend is, you know what I'm saying, for this purpose. Like, if I have a friend at, like, you know, in class, like we literally just talk in class, I'm gonna respect it.
Yeah, bro, you're my class man's.
Once that class is over, I'll see you in the hallways, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, quick little dap up, but we ain't talking about
nothing. Yeah, like, we're not going to sit there and talk about the 20 minutes. Quick little
dap up is crazy.
Yeah, but, so you good? He says, I'm good.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, we just keep it pushing. I think it's like a mutual understanding when it comes to, like, relationships. So, yeah, that's kind of how I would put it, bro. I guess you can give us your perspective, too, honestly, bro.
Like, me?
Yeah, you've been at UMD for a minute, bro. Like, at least the same time as us, or...
No, I transferred fall 2022.
22, yeah, you were
Before, I transferred fall 2022. I'm still a junior, though. But for me, like, I grew up in Frederick, and shout out to all my dogs in Frederick, but I'm not going to lie to you, that was not the place for me. Where I grew up, the school I went to, it's a bit better now, but it was, like, 98% white, and, like... 2% minority. Oh, wow. And like growing up in that atmosphere, you know, having parents from Ghana who didn't trust anything, it was a type of thing where it was like, I would go to school, come home, there's no sleepovers, there's no, you know, even playing soccer, like it was a type of thing where it's like, I resented my parents so much for the aspect of playing like at a high level, like they wouldn't let me. And it was only because of like money, bro, like the way like the system works here. And like, but I'm growing up around, you know, no disrespect to people who had like a lot more money, parents who were a bit more free spirited, and
like
how
that goes.
Yeah,
we all know. Yeah, how that goes,
so
man.
So from that like childhood, I was very much a person who kept to myself, didn't talk to anybody. Even when I went to FCC, you know, it was a good time because I got a scholarship to play over there. But you know what I'm saying? No, nothing crazy, you know. Won the first school championship in school history, you know.
What I'm saying? Okay.
Started in the final, you know what I'm saying?
Sorry,
you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
It's actually tough.
Nothing crazy. But yeah, coming to UMD, like it opened my eyes. One, like I didn't even know this many black people existed, and it's still a PWI. So for me, everybody who comes, like I know like people who come from your guys' area, it's like, oh, this is PWI, whatever. For me, this is like, wow, I didn't even know like people of different races existed, because I literally grew up on like a farm. They bring your tractor to school day, bro.
That's
what? Yes, bro. They have bring your tractor. Yeah, bring your tractor to school day, bro.
Nah, I get it.
So
what?
Yeah,
like,
so,
I've definitely seen that online somewhere.
Bring
bro.
Your tractor to school.
I've definitely
day?
Seen that online,
yes, bro.
Bro.
Bring your tractor to school day, but. Anyways.
Bro, what did you just say?
Yeah, bro. My school was literally on a farm.
Wait, did you bring one?
I didn't have no tractor, bro. I didn't have no tractor, bro. Yeah. But yeah, so like I came to UMD, and because of the way I've been raised, I was always like someone who was like, I didn't want to talk to anyone. I came in and out, got my work done. But then, shout out my man 8K, Dorian. I met him last semester. And, like, he just kind of, like, opened my eyes to, like, how many people are doing certain things. And also, like, how much you can achieve from just working hard and being a good person. Like, that's it. You see what I'm saying? And, like, he opened the doors in terms of, like, just showing me people doing different things. You know, I saw Io doing his music. I knew about you for a minute, but I just never, like, met you or seen you in the hallways. Just, like, the Instagram stories type when people are reposting and stuff like that. I'll see you sometimes type, like things like that. And, like, just being able to, like, now I tap into those relationships. I think I'm like a little bit privileged in the sense, like the first time me, I'm like becoming outgoing. The people I'm being exposed to are people who are like on top of their stuff. Mm-hmm. So like I'm not even being like, I haven't even had to go through too much of like the people that are bringing me down. Oh, I have to cut you off. Cause I was already cutting everybody off like just because of the way I was raised. Mm. I remember I'd come home and tell my mom, oh man, James wants to have a little get together. She said, who's James? Who's James? I was like, oh, James, he just wants to like, yeah bro. She said, and I remember I got to a point, I'll never forget this. We had like a little celebration for like my high school soccer team. And then I remember the coach even said, he's just like, yo, man, don't even bother inviting Will. Everybody started laughing. Bro, when I tell you, put that joint a little bit closer, though. Yeah, not too much. Yeah, you're good. When I tell you, like, how much that, like, one, it hurt me, but, like, it just made me be more on my shell. Like, yo, and, like, I couldn't even blame him because he was saying it in a joke. But it's like, you guys don't know, like, the backstory behind things of that way. Nah, you see what I'm saying? But altogether, bro, I think everything happens for a reason. God put you in different, like, you know, places for a reason. Amen. And it definitely, like, helped me, like, how to navigate new relationships in terms of, like, people who are completely different than me. Because I had to grow up with people that were completely different than me. It was only, like, one particular race being white. But it just still helps me navigate, like, you know, just different rooms in terms of, like, understanding culture and understanding how people go, like, about certain things. But yeah, shout out to Dorian, man, because he's going.
Shout out Dorian.
Either you've seen him on the podcast at this time, or he's going to be on an episode after. But shout out to Dorian, bro. But
Dorian, man.
Yeah. Also, you want to check the cameras? I feel like we haven't even been checking these cameras this whole time. Imagine we getting all this good footage and nothing being recorded.
Nah, we should be straight.
That one's it's still recording.
This is tough. It is. Literally, it is still recording on camera.
What I do want to say though is like, bro, the black community here is actually on top of their stuff, bro. Like,
nah, for sure.
I feel like everyone, like all the black people I've met, is like, bro, they are doing something, bro. Like it's very motivating because I'm just like, bro, I gotta keep it going too, bro. Like not even sense of like comparison, just like, yo, like. I gotta, you know what I'm saying, keep up with my people. You know what I'm saying?
I think
that was like a big motivator that I've had, like, you know, kind of just being at Smith and like being around UMD for real, for real.
And I think there's just something about like seeing people who have like similar backgrounds, look like you. You know, it's such a cliche, but it's just like, I can just speak for me personally. Like, I don't even have like, I think I had one, shout out my man Kojo. That was like my one man's that even he came like maybe like, eighth grade of like, and so when he came in eighth grade, there was only four black people in my whole middle school.
Oh wow.
You see what I'm saying? But other than him, it was just like, I'm just seeing people that look different than me, you know, maybe have different upbringings. So I'm thinking that, I can't do X, Y, and Z because I just haven't seen anybody, you know, doing X, Y, and Z except, like, you know, especially what this media just portray us as. Nothing wrong with just being a baller, musician. Going to be having some musicians on this podcast, you know what I'm saying? But, like, putting us in just that one, you know, I know. That one little niche, it was tough growing up. So that's why, like, yeah, shout out to UMD. Shout out to, like, the black community in UMD because, like, it literally just, one, opens your eyes to the things that you can do, and then it's always just a motivator because, like, I'm doing this joint, and it's like, I'm feeling a little bit down. I'm like, what's Jeff doing? What's Ivan doing? Like, I'm not even trying to beat them out, but I just gotta be on the same level as you guys. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. So, going back to that street love, I'm gonna keep on going back. Cause me, I just joined the family probably like what, a month or two ago. So like, yeah, you know, I'm a new member. You know, so like, I still got that like honeymoon stage where I'm excited about it. You know what I'm saying?
He a new family member. Yeah, bro. I'm a new family member. Like my second cousin.
But how was it starting off in terms of like? Actually, like, when did the, was there, like, a point in time where it just took, like, exponential growth, or was, like, always just, like, slow, steady, and then, like, it just, like, came to where it is now?
I'm so glad that you asked that. So, a couple of people have been asking me this recently. I feel like the biggest tip that, this is a free game right here, I used to grow my business was social proof and partnerships. So, I started off literally just selling clothes, and I would just sell clothes, but that was it. But then one day I was like, bro, like, if you're not shopping on the street, you're not part of the family. Mm-hmm. And that joint just sounded smooth. So I would just have people, when they bought from me, take a video and they say the slogan. And so I would tag them. They post it, like, on their own joint. So now their community seeing it and they're like, yo, this shirt is hard. And this is my man's. And he's saying this slogan. Like, what is this? And it was literally like a viral effect off that, bro. Like, it was just circulating. Because at first, it was like, to be completely honest, Heads was not rocking with me that much. Mm-hmm. Like, I would post clothes, but Heads was just not really trying to buy it. It's like, the shirt's cool, but like, who is this guy? Yeah. But then once you see, like, your brother, your mother, your sister, your best friend, all shopping with me and saying, you're not shopping with street, you're not part of the family. It's like, bro, literally, what is this? Like, you ever seen something like that where just like, everybody's talking about it, so you're like, all right, I just want to kind of be in the loop. That's really what it was. So having that social proof of literally, like, people are actually shopping with me, they're happy, and it's people that you know, it was like a viral effect where now it was something where people literally didn't want to be left out. And then I would say, and also on that thing, like, heavy emphasis on, like, bro, everybody starts somewhere, and that's okay. Don't ever let somebody try to belittle your struggle or where you start. Because in the beginning, I was literally faking it till I make it. Mm-hmm. Like, it would be my mans, I'm like, bro, can I just take a video of you holding this shirt? Like, I know you're not going to buy it, but, like, I just want people to be able to see that what I'm doing. And that joint genuinely works. So it's like, bro, if you got to fake it till you make it, don't let nobody knock your hustle. It's not about how you get there. It's just about that you get there. And the second thing I would say is, like, partnerships, bro. Like, being able to network with other creatives and, like, being able to go on their platforms, share to their community. Because I knew what I was doing was good and I was building something here. But being able to have these partnerships, it was that virality, getting that exposure. So the first big partnership I had was, shout out to Homecourt DMV, man, in downtown Silver Spring. They have this street market gallery that's like good motion, bro. Heads come through, they're looking for clothes, strong community. All the vendors always perform well. I have been applying for months. They wasn't rocking with me. But then one month, it was July of 2023 or 2022. It was July. That was my first pop-up. And, bro, that joint was crazy. Like, Street Love never had that many followers at that point. I never got so many followers in one day. Never had that many sales in one day. Never made that much money in one day. Like, it was that viral effect where, because of this partnership, I was able to be exposed to a whole new community and platform. And then from there, it just built, like, hold on, let me let this pass. Partnerships are really the key. And so even now, like, being able to do these collabs with different college orgs, being invited to all these different colleges and, like, the exposure, that was really the key. So social proof and then partnerships, networking. And it was all genuine, too. Like, it's not like somebody trying to use me. I'm trying to use them. Like, it was stuff that I genuinely rock with.
And something that we didn't even talk about, we've kind of talked about how, like, we all have that relatability with, like, having parents, me and you from Ghana, Cameroon as well, you know what I'm saying? What was, you know, the reaction from your family, your parents, things of that nature, like you going into like just starting this?
Yeah, so funny enough, bro, my dad was like the hardest working man I ever knew. He was an entrepreneur himself. Bro was always locked in, like, bro, just always working, just always trying to improve. And it was inspiring for me to see. But I myself at the time wasn't like an OD entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. And then right after I graduated high school, like literally the same week that I graduated, he ended up passing away. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was hard for me and my family. But that really like set the torch in me that was like, bro, I got to carry this flame. I got to pick it up. Not only to provide for my family financially, but just to like make my dad proud. You feel me? Because this was literally my dad for 18 years of my life. He passed away suddenly. Like, that joint was unexpected, bro. It just hit me, and I was like, bro, I just want to try to do something to honor him. And I seen, like, my mom struggling. Like, she's a widow now. I got four other siblings, and it's just, I'm like, bro, I got to do something. I got to find a way to make some money. Like, I got to make something of myself. And that joint really, like, set the flame. So I think, like, once my dad passed, it really taught me, like, all right, let's actually take this seriously. Let's try to make something happen. And it kind of just, like, set that spark in me.
Mm. And your mother, in terms of her reaction to, you know, you starting Street Love, was it a thing when she just got behind it immediately?
Or was it some skepticism? Definitely not immediately, because it's like, bro, it's African parents, you feel me? So, especially the actual concept, and she was like, you're going to buy old clothes, and that's how you're going to make money. Like, it doesn't make any sense. My mom is very supportive. Shout out my mom. I love my mom. But she just didn't understand it, which makes sense, right? Like, she was like, you know how African parents are. Either be, like, a doctor or a lawyer, because they know that's what makes money. So I feel like that was really the thing. Once I got proved to her that, A, I was serious and knew what I was talking about, and, B, I knew how to make money with it, and she got on board very quickly. So literally me pulling up and being like, Mom, this is for you. She's like, oh, yeah, keep selling clothes. So it quickly went from like, bruh, you're just making a mess. Like, you got all these clothes around the house. What is this? I don't understand. To like, bruh, she would not let me stop selling clothes if I wanted to. If I tried, she'd be like, no, you got to keep selling clothes. So genuinely, bruh, she wouldn't even let me stop. So I think once she started to like my mom always believed in me, bro. Like, I love my mom because she always instilled in me from a very young age, like, Jeff, you're special. You can do whatever you set your mind to. And being a kid and having someone who genuinely believes in you and tells you, like, you can do anything you set your mind to, bruh, you're going to do whatever you set your mind to. So she always rooted for me. And the way she used to do that was by putting me in these magnet programs and gifted programs so that I could, like, you know, get advanced in school. But then once she saw the business of what was important to me, she just put that, like, belief behind me, and she was with me 100%. So, shout out to my mom, man. Like, love her so much.
And only if you're comfortable, in terms of speaking about your father, what did, like, what was his, like, entrepreneurship, like, journey? What are the endeavors that he got into? And, like, what did you take away from, you know, what he was doing, and how does it apply to you today?
Yeah, bro. So, he was the motion man. He had a job, but then he also had his own business. It's called Bridgeport Housing. It was like a real estate company. So watching him do like the real estate, and from a young age, he involved me in it. Like, bro, he used to take me to the houses. I'd be like 7 years old, cleaning them joints, like sweeping it. I see like a spider, I'm like, I want to go home. And he would just like pay us in McDonald's, bro. The whole joint was so funny now that I think about it. But like from a young age, he just showed me like the value of hard work, if I'm being completely honest. Like, bro, having that strong male role model who is literally like, you need to work hard and make something of yourself. I was like, bro, I need to do this. You feel me? So seeing his business, seeing his entrepreneurship, his work ethic, his dedication to his family, I was like, bro, this is something that's admirable, something I want to try to do for myself. So like I said, once he passed, I was like, okay, it's time to get serious. Because when he was alive, I, like, in the back of my head was like, okay, I don't really have to do this right now because I have time, right? Like, you feel me? But, like, once he passed, then it was like, okay, this is a dire situation. Like, literally, financially, emotionally, something's got to give, something's got to happen. And it really cut on that switch. So I think it just goes back to, like, everything happens for a reason. God has a plan. Because it really turned, like, a tragedy into a blessing. I think there's no way I would be who I am today or where I am today if this tragedy did not happen in my life, because it really turned that switch on.
Wow. And I don't got, like, the direct quotes, but, like, that one Instagram post that you did make, it was, like, a year in between, message to your dad, message to yourself. I don't even have, like, the order correct. I'm not sure which order it was. But the one thing that I took away from it was in terms of, it was a tragedy that happened and everything happened for a reason, but like it wasn't something that like happened overnight in terms of like that happening led to all of a sudden, oh, okay, you're gonna get locked in. Like even that whole year, like there's so much just like, you know, being in sorrow, you know, not knowing, like not even being able comfortable to speak about it, things like that nature. Yeah. So like speak to me about, you know, I think that tragedy being like a catalyst for change, but like what are like the small things that happened between that time period, between those like two letters that you made to yourself? Like what are those things that happened when you're like, okay, it's time to like, you know what I'm saying? I want to be emotional man too, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Damn, I didn't even know you knew about that. That's come some on, crazy bro. This is Jeff the Your Choice
podcast,
bro.
W Research. I was going to say W Research. This is the Your Choice podcast, bro. Come on now.
First of all, shout out to Will. W Research. But yeah. So when my dad, let me set the scene. I just graduated high school. I was a senior. Bruh, I was lit. Like literally, I had fun at high school. I had Beach Week coming up. I was excited. I was vice president at SGA. They let me speak at graduation. I'm like, bro, let's get it. At the time, my dad is in the hospital. He went in the hospital about like 3 weeks prior, but it's not that big a deal. Like literally, he went to the hospital, but he's going to be back soon. I end up going to Beach Week. I'm with my boys. I'm like, bro, it's Beach Week. We in Ocean City. Let's get it. Literally, after the first night, my dad ends up passing away. Wow. So, yeah, bro, I'm literally at Beach Week. My whole family knows that my dad passed. Everybody at home crying and stuff. I don't even know. I'm literally with my men vibing. And then my brother calls me. He's like, yo, Jeff, are you good? I'm like, yeah, I'm good, bro. Like, I'm having a fun trip. What's up? He was like, yeah, like, we need to talk. I'm about to, like, come and get you. I was like, what? Keep in mind, bro, we're in, what, like Rehoboth or something like
we're
that?
We're like deep in Delaware somewhere, bro.
Deep in Delaware, bro. It's like 3 hours away from where we are. So I'm like, bro, what do you mean? Like, I'm going to come get you. We need to talk. He was like, we'll talk about it when I get there. Don't trip. But just like, I'm coming. And my stomach just sank, bro. Because I was like, bro, what? Like, I know my brother. There's no way he's going to drive 3 hours there, 6 hours total to come and get me. Unless it's something OD. And so literally, after that call, my stomach just sunk. Bro, a whole rest of the trip, I just could not, like, focus, do nothing. My brother ended up pulling up. As soon as I seen that car, bro, I just started crying. Because I was like, bro, this means that it's real. As soon as I got in the car, he told me, he was like, bro, he's gone. And that joint just, like, was hard, bro. Because it was like, you know, losing my dad. And the relationship that we had, it really took a toll on me. So, yeah, that year was not easy for me, bro. So I went back home. I was with my family. And then I ended up actually going back to Beach Week for, like, a day just because I was struggling so much. And I just wanted to be treated like Jeff. Because when I was at home, bro, like, everybody was just treating me like the sad kid whose dad just died, like, really pitying me and stuff. And I hate when people pity me or look down on me. So I wanted to go back to Beach Week just so I could be Jeff for a day. So I went back for a day. I drove up with some friends, and that was a really nice day. And funny enough, that's actually the day that I knew that I wanted to make my girlfriend, Shalom, who's been my girl for like 2.5 years now, my girl, just because of the way that she was like caring about me and providing me. I'm like, bro, this girl is a wife. Like, this is crazy. And we're just friends at the time, but I'm like, bro. Nah, something gotta happen here. So, you know, that's God working in some mysterious ways. But, yeah. So it was like, that one day was nice. But then nobody knew that my dad passed. I wasn't trying to tell nobody. I just like people normally treating me like normal. And so that's kind of what that whole year was about. Like, just like, I didn't want people to pity me or look down on me because I knew if they knew if my dad passed and my family's going through this financially and this, my mom's a widow, then they'd just be like, oh, poor Jeff. I didn't want people to see me and define me by my dad's death. I just wanted them to know me for me. So it was really something that I struggled with and something I wasn't really comfortable talking about. Only a few select people knew. But then when I had made that post, that was kind of like my public declaration of like, this is something that happened, but this is not something that defines me. You feel me? So I wanted to be able to tell my own story on my own terms. And that's kind of what I did on that post. But it literally took for a year for me to get that courage, bro. No funny. But when I actually did post it, I was actually at my dad's grave when I posted it. And I cried and I put it through. But like, I felt free. Like, I was like, bro, genuinely, this is closure. I can move on now. It's been a year. So that was kind of the whole process with that.
And I guess now, Man, now I'm like emotional. That was a good story. You thought I was just gonna move on, and be like, yeah, okay, whatever.
Vibes, bro.
No, it's a good story, and I mean, yeah, like I think the big like topic that we just keep on touching on. Everything happens for a reason, you know. God has a plan for you. Mm-hmm. Like so many things that like you just look back in life and you're like, I'm so glad that happened, but you just don't see it in the moment, you know. And that's not to like, you know, demean like the feelings that you may have had during that time, but it's just like, look at what it's turned into, the man that you've become, the people that like you've impacted, you know. I don't know what event it was, like 2 days ago or something like that, you know. The if you're not shopping shoot, you're not part of the family. Started out as a saying, but like you said it on a story post, like it's now it's a whole movement. You see what I'm saying? Like even when like someone sees you, oh, they don't even call you Jeff. They just say Street Love.
Street Love.
I was in some place.
You know? Don't even know my name.
Yeah, I was. I don't remember where I was. And then like someone just like, oh, where's Street Love at? And I was just like, man, it's really like this. You see what I'm saying? So, yeah, man, it's a beautiful story. And I think a lot of people can take something from it because, I mean, yeah, everything happens for a reason. But I'm trying to lighten the mood. Yeah. But yeah, so have some traction. I don't know if this traction that we're talking about was this still within MC or like now we can like transfer to like UMD.
So you want to take this?
No, I was just about to ask him a question. Like before we even get into that, Will, like, you know, you had like a unique experience because like, you know, you saw like where Street Love was at, like when we came into UMD, like, well, you know, what was your thought? Like, you know what I'm saying? Just kind of seeing Street Love around, like, you know what I'm saying? Walking around, seeing people dab up, like, yo, Street Love. Like, what was your experience with that, bro? And, like, you know, seeing the, like, in-person pop-ups, like, firsthand.
Yeah, you know, for me personally, I think this is something I've told you. We've had multiple conversations. I used to go on Instagram theme pages, right? That was like a good hustle of mine. Yeah. So like
before, like that.
Yeah, before there's even podcasts, let me give like a little spiel. You know what I'm saying? I had a whole master plan. This is like 2021, right?
I am good.
So I started like making like Bleacher Report soccer type of pages.
Word.
Started running that up. Like I would get like I did so much studying. I would like run these pages up to like within like 4K, 5K followers within like 12 months. Then like you either sell them off. Or, like, you know, you just keep on running them because maybe you like that joint, maybe sell, like, you know, ad space and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But then I was like, I really like podcasts. So I had a whole master plan. Let me run up one of these pages, do that quick, like, 3-4K run. And then if this page really looks like SportsCenter, Bleacher Report, like, those type of pages, I'm going to start reaching out to, like, athletes, like, genuine, like they play for their national teams,
right,
things like that, and bring them on and have it as a podcast.
That's so fire.
You see what I'm saying? So that's what I did, you know, for a minute. And then let me let this joint finish. What was I at? I was talking about, I run up these pages, then I decided for one in particular page, I wanted to run it up, reach out to athletes. They're not going to know it's just some small, like, 17, 18-year-old running this page. Right. They're going to just see, it's getting a bunch of likes. There's even some pro ballers that are following it. Of course, they want to be on the podcast.
Crazy attraction.
Yeah.
That is tough,
bro. Yeah. But then I remember I just got busy. And this is like the same way you had a little catalyst for like wanting to like be an entrepreneur. This was kind of like my catalyst. I got busy. I had to work. Like I just had to like help my family out. You know what I'm saying?
That's real.
So like I picked up a job at Chick-fil-A. I don't even want to say shout out to Chick-fil-A, bro. shout out to Chick-fil-A, bro. But like, I ain't even going to lie, bro. That was tough. I was one of them, like, you know, the ones who, like, are outside on the iPads. Like,
And
consistently, bro. There was no, like, switching around. Like, I remember it got to a point, like, so basically, when you get in, you got your board. Like, they have a board that says, like, where everyone's going to be. Mm-hmm. Like, he's going to be on drinks. He's going to be, like, the person who drops the food out the window.
Right.
It got to the point, I didn't even, like, look at the board. I would just get in, go to the back, put the jacket on, and just start walking outside.
Because
they would just consistently put me outside. So, I got so busy with that, and I really just needed to make bread.
Right.
That, like, I just had to, like, shut down those pages. But that was the biggest thing for me that was, like, yo, I want to work for myself. I want to be an entrepreneur. I want to just do things that, like, have some type of purpose. But long story short, how that, like, goes with, like, Street Love, I was saying all of this because I never had, like, a personal, like, IG page. I was always just, you know, maybe doing like it through, like, you know, different, like, trying to, like, come across as, like, a business. So I made an IG, like, just this fall. And then obviously, you know, told you, like, Dorian, like, introduced me to a lot of different people, and obviously, like, a lot of the people that are mutuals are Dorian, mutuals are Jeff. So I would see the Street Love joint, like, on the stories. But also remember, I'm still, like, in my, I'm a closed-off person. I don't experience this. So I never, like, will see these pop-ups because I'm not going to McAllen. I'm not going to, like, I remember, like, I would come to school. I remember, where could you study? Maybe just go to ESJ or something like that. Then I'll go home because, bro, I live, like, an hour away, too. So, like, I was just not trying to talk to anybody, do my stuff. But then I just kept on seeing Street Love on everybody, reposting the stories, stuff like that.
Yeah, bro.
And then I remember it was, like, December. That's when I initially came up with this podcast idea. I was like, Dorian, who is this guy behind Street Love, bro? You see what I'm saying? Who is this guy, bro? Like, and then I figured out he was from Ghana. So that just made me was like, yo.
It just made sense.
You know what I'm saying? It just made sense. Yeah, but my perspective was just like, you know, like, what are these people doing? You know, how can I be involved? Maybe not even to the sense of like, oh, I'm like a Street Love ambassador or whatever. But it's more of like, when I see people like really going after something, I love to support. Like, I'm not even going to lie to you, and this is not even, like, on a diss. The Gap hoodie that I bought from you, I haven't even worn it. And, like, it's still, it's a tough hoodie, too. You know what I'm saying? But I literally bought that, like, just because, like, okay, is it cool? Yeah. I'm, like, I'm aware, whatever. But, like, I wasn't even looking at it like, yo, like, I see this joint. Like, this is, like, I want this, I want this. But it's almost because, like, I could relate so much with, like, the hustle, the person behind it. That's why I even, like, just bought it. You see what I'm saying? And, like, I think that's what you guys have, like, done a good job doing. And now that's the type of thing I'm trying to do. Just in whatever I'm doing, like, it's not too much about, like, I want to get to the point where it's, like, I'm selling whatever I'm doing. And it's, like, you're, like, investing in something because you like, will, bro. It's not because you like whatever it is. You see what I'm saying? So,
bro,
yeah.
I was, like, literally saying this exact thing to Ivan the other day, bro. Where it's, like, you get to the point where they're not buying it because of the thing. They're buying it because of you. Literally, like you said, bro. Like, it's crazy you said that. I was literally saying this exact thing the other day.
Mm-hmm. Bar for bar.
Yeah, bro. But that was my perspective of Street Love. And then, like, obviously, we've had a lot of, like, we've had some conversations, like, you know, little conversations about what it is, you know, just getting a better understanding of that. And I think you did touch on it a little bit Friday when we talked about what is the, you know, process in terms of how you know what clothes to, like, buy, or like what's the method, like, just general, what's the method in terms of, like, you know, how you generate revenue, how you're generating profit, and, like, yeah, how you make the whole thing work.
There you go. So
about to give out real sauce.
I was gonna say,
like, pay attention.
Get out your notepad for anyone that wants to start this type of business. Let me give it to you. So there's a process. First process is you need to source product. So the way that you can get product is different ways. Easiest way to start is just going to the thrift store. You can get quality clothes for a quality price, but it's going to take time. So be consistent. Find local thrift stores in your area. You can get product. Another way is you could buy off third-party platforms, like literally Grail, Depop, Facebook Marketplace. People sell quality stuff for a low price. Another way you can source product that I do now is, like, just by, like, off networking, you can find people who will sell to you in bulk. And when you have more, this is if you have more money up front, then you could buy more product and get those better prices. So that just comes off just like networking, talking to people, y'all build that relationship. And then also, what was the last thing I was going to say? Oh yeah, buying off consumers directly. So based off just like the Street Love name and reputation, like literally college students and people will just like sell to me. Like they'll be like, bro, Jeff, I have this tough piece. How much will you give it to me? So step one, source great product. Step two, sell your product. So there's two main ways that we sell. We sell online through our social media and through third-party platforms like Depop and Grail. And we also sell in-person at the in-person pop-up shops. And each one has their different pros and cons. In-person pop-up shops are great in terms of market exposure. Like literally you're getting in front of people who are your target audience. For me, it's them college students. Number two, you get data for free. Companies spend millions of dollars just to get data, just to learn what works and what doesn't. And pop-ups are a free way to get those. Like if I pull up with this black Nike shirt and every time I put it in the front, somebody's like, where you get this from? How much is it? Can I try this on? I know this is a hot product. So when we go back to step one, which is sourcing product, bro, I'm going to look for black Nike shirts because it keeps selling. But if I get this purple UMD hoodie and it don't matter if I'm putting it in the front, it don't matter if I'm putting it on sale, it don't matter if I'm posting it on all these platforms, it's getting zero likes, nobody's asking about it, bro, it's a bad product. So the pop-ups are a great way to get like and market exposure and learn what products sell and what products don't. And then also, like, it's literally just easier. You feel me? Like, you don't got to take pictures, ship out items and stuff. It's just a pop-up. And the second way that we sell is online. So we'll take pictures of the products, style them, put the size, all that, list it. When it sells, we ship it out. And then I say, step number four is, like, the follow-up. And the reason I like online a lot is because of, like, scalability. Like, the pop-ups are cool for, like, reputation, you know what I'm saying, finding people, reaching the target audience. But, like, if you actually want to scale a business, the way that I want to scale Street Love and its potential, I know it's got to be through the online. So working right now on, like, different partnerships and people who can help me with creating, like, a high-converting website and just, like, SMS marketing, keeping track with people's data and using that to not only source my product but just increasing my customer retention rate. Like, it's way cheaper for you to sell to somebody who already knows you, who already shops, who already trusts you and got a great product than for you to go out there and find somebody brand new. So literally, like, that's just some game on, like, how I do Street Love, like, my sales channels, how I source my product, how I'm able to sell consistently. And then you always got to reinvest into your business. Don't make money and then go out and buy, like, Balenciagas, bro. Like, don't do that, fool. I'm not going to lie. I have done that a couple times. And it's, like, it's bad, bro. It's bad. But, like, you got to reinvest into your business. So take care of your needs. Literally, like, you know, pay bills, help your family, food, clothes, things like that. When I say clothes, I'm not talking about Balenciaga. I'm talking about, like, bare essentials. And then reinvest into your business so that you can see those profits in the future and continue to have your money grow. So that's really how I do what I do. And everything I do is centered around that formula of literally buying high-quality clothes for a lower price, selling them for a higher price. And it's all just about how can I keep doing this? How can I do it better? How can I keep selling to the same person? And it just builds from there.
Fair. And do you feel that you have to have an eye for, like, just fashion in general to do something like this? Or is it something that you're born with to a certain extent? Like, some people have, like, me personally, I feel like you may have, like, a natural eye for, like, just, you know, how to, like, curate, you know, how to style people, things of that nature. Or is it something that could be learned over time? Like, let's just say that somebody wants to get into this. You know what I'm saying? Like, would you say there's, like, an instinctual side and then there's also, like, a skill set side that you could build?
Yeah, I say both. Like, it's kind of like the debate of, like, hard work versus talent.
Fair.
Obviously, if you're talented and you just naturally fly and you know what's good, that's going to, like, make it easier. Yeah. But, like, at a certain point, hard work is going to be talent. You feel me? Talent can only take you so far. So I do feel like because I'm into fashion, I kind of have an eye for, like, the styling, what I'm interested in. But, like, I don't think I'm the flyest person in the world, the best stylist, none of that. Like, literally, I'm learning as I'm going. And most importantly, I'm listening to my customers and listening to the data. Like, I could think that this is the coolest shirt in the world. Yeah. But that doesn't mean that you think it's the coolest shirt in the world. And at the end of the day, it's not like I'm going to buy my own shirt. You're the one buying it. You feel me? So listening to my customers, listening to the data and seeing, like, consistently, when I put this shirt with these pants and these shoes and this bag and this accessories, it sells. Bro, that means it's a good product. So literally just listen to your data and listen to your customers. Obviously, it'll help if you have that, like, genuine passion for fashion because you're going to want to genuinely put in that work. You feel me? But, like, it's something that can be developed over time, just like anything. Like, just put in the work.
And speaking of fashion, speaking of fashion trends in general, I want to know, what's one trend that, like, right now, I'm going to say mine, that you're seeing that you ain't a fan of, that's, like, just, like, OD. And I got two that come in mind, but I want to hear yours first. Or if you need to think about it, I'm going to say mine.
Yeah, go ahead.
For me, I'm not going to lie, this first thing, and, like, people, hear me out before I say this, because I feel like people are going to be on top of me. New Balances, bro. Huh? And now, so I told you, wait, that hear me out. Crazy. You did. Hear me out, though. You didn't. Let me cook. I got no problem with New Balance, but the problem is, that's all my mom could afford me growing up, and everybody would trash on it. Now everybody wants to wear New Balance. Kids Advantage program at some, I think it was Sears or something. And then the only things you could get were, like, N1s, New Balances, maybe some Reeboks, you know? So you trade in your shoes, then they give you some shoes. And I remember my parents always styled me in the New Balances. You know, shout out to Sears back when they had New Balance. I think New Balance is too big for them now, I ain't gonna lie. But shout out to Sears. And I'll get these New Balances, And the same, some of the same New Balances that everybody's rocking right now, people are trashing me for them.
I'm not going to lie. It may have been where you was, like, staying at.
Oh, nah. And maybe yeah, that's true.
New Balance was pretty popular around, like...
Most definitely.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, like the 990s, like the V2, bro. Like,
elementary, middle school type? Or, like, high school type?
I want to see, like, middle school, high school type.
Yeah, but I remember my whole life, heads loved New Balance. Yeah.
Oh, for real?
I feel like it was pretty big.
Let me back up on that one, then.
I'm like, you might get some hate on that. I'm not going
to
lie.
Yeah, let me back up on that. Because when I grew up, like... It was like bad, like to the point where like if you didn't have Nikes, like it was like your thing's dead, like your thing's dead. So like now I see like even all the people that I was like with growing up wearing New Balance, I'm like, bro, you literally made me. I wasn't actually crying, but like I was walking away from school like telling my mom, bro, like we gotta get Nikes because these same New Balances that now everybody wants to wear. Back when I was wearing them, they weren't rocking with me.
That's fair.
Yeah,
that's fair.
But I guess that came from the perspective of like. Where I grew up.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? But you guys got yours now or nah?
I can go.
Yeah.
I think the first thing is like, this might be cliche, but this is genuinely how I feel. I don't like the trend of other people trying to tell people what they should or shouldn't wear. Okay. I feel like genuinely, the whole point of fashion is that you should wear what you feel good in.
Express
yourself. Feel like you look good in. Bro, point blank, period. How am I going to say, yo, you shouldn't wear baggy jeans and then you don't wear them? Or I say you shouldn't wear skinny jeans and then you don't wear them. Bro, if you like skinny jeans, wear skinny jeans. If you like baggy jeans, wear baggy jeans. I don't like the trend of these fashion elitists trying to act like they like just the godfathers of fashion. Like, if you're not wearing this, then you need... Bro, who are you? Like, you're literally not paying for it for me. You're not buying it for me. None of this. Like, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Why am I listening to you? So I really, really don't like when other people try to tell people what to wear. Or what's cool or what's not cool. Bro, wear what you feel the best in, what you feel like you look good in, what you feel the most confident, point blank, period.
Yeah.
If I like this fit and I wear this fit for the rest of the week, how you gonna tell me I shouldn't wear it? Bruh, this short is fly. What I wear.
You're not paying for it, bro.
Bruh, this is the fit that I like. This is the fit that I'm gonna wear. It doesn't matter what you say. Now, with that being said, my fashion trend I don't like. This is just based on my own personal fashion.
Yeah, just opinions, you know.
I could say mine in the meantime if you want.
Go ahead.
This is funny because I actually like this shoe too, bro. You know the Balenci's, the track runners, bro.
Like that add like 2 inches.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like you know the Scammer 101s.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
bro.
Scammer fit.
Those need to be retired simply for the fact that like it's been associated with that. Like if you wear those, people think you're a scammer, bro.
Yeah. Fair.
So
fair,
I don't know if it was like that in Frederick, but like. Most definitely.
Yeah.
Literally, that is the scammer shoe. If you scam, you have black Balenciaga tracks.
Yeah. And, like, I actually like the shoe, which kind of breaks my heart because it's just like, bro, I feel like it makes me feel some type of way to get the shoe now, which it shouldn't, but, like, anyways, I feel like that's mine. Those Balenci's. Those need to be retired.
Same on that. I actually also do like those. If I get a pair of tracks, don't say anything.
Yeah.
But I think the fashion trend I don't like just because I'll be seeing it, I'm like, bro, like, that's not good fits. It's like, I don't like when people be wearing mad, like, skinny jeans. Like, it'd be like
the purple jeans,
the Amiris, with, like, bulky shoes like Lanvins or Balenciaga. I'm like, bro, it just doesn't look good. Like, your leg is so skinny, and then the shoe is so chunky.
Looks like leggings, bro.
It just looks weird. But, you know, where would you want to wear?
Where would you want to wear, bro?
If you feel good with them chunky shoes and them skinny jeans, like, bro, go ahead, pop out, be fly. But me personally, I'm just not a fan of it, bro. It just looks uncomfortable.
Yeah, I mean, aesthetics over comfort. I'm not going to lie sometimes.
Yeah, it'd be like that.
Sometimes
like
aesthetics
that.
Over like comfort.
Drip or drown, bro.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I know everybody's on it now, but another big one for me, depends on the context, would definitely be like the baggy jeans. I like them to a certain extent, but I do think some people are like swimming in their joints. To the point, like, the ones where it's like, it's actually collecting dust off the ground. You know what I'm talking about?
I like the dust.
Bro, I do.
You got a pair of Swiffers on the bottom of them, bro. It's collecting dust. Yeah. But, and I've always been the type of person where it's like, I think it's because of the way I grew up. But when you got a certain shoe that you really wanted, you know, you wanted everybody to see it. So because I've always had that mindset, not too much now, but it's like, I'm always thinking like, why are you wearing like these baggy pants and I can't see your shoes? You see what I'm saying?
I see. Yeah.
But then it's like the aesthetic of baggy over like skinny is definitely much more tougher in my opinion.
Facts.
So That's why now I'm like big on like parachute pants. Cause it's like
parachute,
like, but I got the ones that got like whatever, like I don't know if they're rubber bands, but then like you tighten them at the bottom,
yeah,
so like
if you want, yeah.
so then it's like, you know, if I'm wearing that shoe, like this is just me, I'm gonna make sure everybody sees my shoe, bro. I need everybody to be like, yo, Will, when did you get that? That's tough. This is clean. Me, I'm not gonna lie, bro. I'll be dressing, you know,
for so little, I can't even be mad at you, bro.
But yeah, that would be my.
Good question. But wrapping up,
once again, appreciate you all joining me. I've really enjoyed the conversation.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, like, this was genuinely tough, bro. The hottest new podcast.
Big shout out, Your Choice Podcast. You know what I'm saying?
I'm telling
you, bro. I feel like I met Will like pretty recent, bro.
Yeah, and I feel like
we've gotten along so well. Like the fact that you even invited me this off the strength, I was like, dog.
Yeah.
I would take it, bro. Like, I was kind of honored because I was like, dang, first podcast too. Like I didn't want to, like, I didn't feel the pressure, but I was just like, dang, like, I got to turn out, you know what I'm saying?
Big shout out to Will,
you know what I'm saying? Tune into Your Choice Podcast. And yeah, bro, you could be next on this podcast, so.
Tapping
with Will, ASAP.
Shout out.
Yeah, just like Ivan said, bro, big shout out to my brother Will, man. Y'all, Your Choice Podcast, you heard it here first. It's about to be your new favorite podcast, bro. Every episode, y'all need to be on this, bro. Y'all heard it from Street Love. Y'all heard it from Jeff. This is my favorite podcast. Y'all go listen to this every day. Big shout out, Will, man. Mad, genuine guy. Like, Lee just showed love to me, giving me a platform, able to share my story, showing love to Ivan, and just like, bro, very high quality production, very hard working individual. Y'all support him in everything he do, bro. He going to the moon, so. Y'all hop on the train early.
To the moon.
You can tell people, like, yeah, bro, I was here for the first episode. You feel me?
Yeah, nah, I appreciate you guys. I was even trying to look for some fan questions, but I realized just our natural conversation, like, the people that I ask for questions, we low-key kind of already, like, answer everything.
Right.
Yeah. But, I mean, if there's anything that you guys want to plug, obviously, like, I feel like most of the people tuning in know about Street Love, but just anything, like, you know, socials, what you got going on, like, coming up, things of that nature.
Yeah, I can plug real quick. So I've been working more and more about expanding Street Love, and instead of working in my business, working on my business. So definitely follow us on Instagram at Street Love Online, because we have some big things coming. In these next couple months and this year specifically, I don't want to speak too much on stuff before it happens, but dog, listen, y'all better hop on the Street Love train now. Y'all gonna see a lot of cool stuff coming. And then also make sure to follow me at Jeff Che. So JeffKyei. Don't want to say too much on that either, but like I got some stuff on the way, about to be working more on just like my own personal brand outside of Street Love, kind of trying to like what I do. As the co-president of Black Business Association, shout out my co-president, Ann. It's just try to like inspire people through my story, uplift other entrepreneurs, and just like people in general, because there's impact and there's way in somebody saying like, I've been in your position and I made it out and you can too. So want to do something along those lines. Don't want to say too much, but like something soon is coming from just the Jeff personal brand. So y'all definitely be on the lookout for that. And yeah, if y'all rock with me and my story and want to hear more from me, definitely follow me because got some stuff on the way.
Ivan?
Yeah, bro. You guys can also follow me on Instagram, Ivan.clutch, Yvan.clutch. And kind of like Jeff said, I don't want to speak on it too much. I got some, you know, saying things I'm working on so far.
Okay.
So kind of like he said, you know, follow me, tune in for that, because I will be back on this podcast to speak about it. You know,
yes,
say?
Sir.
And
then, yes,
and,
sir.
You know, before I graduate, at least
yes,
for
sir,
sure.
Yes,
so,
sir, yes, sir.
So yeah.
By then we're gonna be having like people on the windows, just you know, watching. You know that, yo, Ivan's pulling up. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Everybody here, bro, banging on the windows.
Oh my God!
Yeah, nah, definitely. Will, you know what I'm saying, we'll be making another appearance on Your Choice Podcast. But you know, if you go to UMD, see me around, say what's up.
For sure.
But yeah, bro, that's it for me. You know what I'm saying? Again, tune into Your Choice Podcast. Yeah, bro, we up.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, I appreciate you guys once again. You know, I've really enjoyed the conversation. Shout out my man, Ababacar.
Ababacar.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Shout out my man, Ababacar. Shout out Sophie for the moral support over there. You know what I'm saying?
Sophie in the corner, man.
Yeah, man. But, you know, hopefully this is the start of something special. I personally got a lot of free games, so I highly doubt there's going to be anyone who doesn't feel the same way. But, yeah, you know, follow Your Choice Pod on Instagram. I don't know if we got the TikTok handle down yet, but Your Choice Pod on Instagram. Hopefully we're going to be cutting all these up, you know, sharing little special gems, things of that nature. But also listen to the full conversation because me personally, the little TikTok, Instagram reels, it's cool. But if you trying to actually get put on game, like, exactly. Take some time, listen to the whole thing, you know, because not going to lie, we're going to be posting just to get your attention. Sometimes the gems, that's going to be in the long conversation. You see what I'm saying?
Tell them real
time. Bro, I'm going to be honest. I'm trying to finesse. But I'm still telling you how I'm finessing. You see what I'm saying? But yeah.
TikTok clips.
But appreciate y'all joining us. And we'll cut it there.
Yes, sir.
That was tough.
Like, yo, Will, you got it, bro.
Killed it, bro.
Bro, this drone is tough, bro.
I appreciate it.